Do you have your word with you this morning? We're gonna talk on faith is. How many times have you ever had people say you have faith, you don't have faith, you don't have enough faith, you need faith, faith this, faith that, faith, faith, faith. Faith is what? Faith is. That's the message today. Ephesians 2:8. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Father, I pray your blessing on this word, that we understand what it means for us to receive all these things by faith. What is faith? Let this word go deep within us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've taught before, it says, "For it is by free grace." You can't buy it. You can't steal it. You can't barter for it. You can't beg God for it. It's his gift, grace. It's by his grace that you are saved. That word saved in the Greek is sozo, which is salvation, healing, preservation, and deliverance. For by grace are you healed. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you preserved. For by grace are you delivered. That's a lot. That says a mouthful. This is the hallmark verse, this and verse 9, are the hallmark verses of our church. Our mission statement, so to speak, is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is what we believe and what we stand in. Salvation is in here. Healing's in here. Deliverance is in here. Preservation is in here. God will keep you. He didn't just go to save you from a devil's hell. He went to save you so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Ephesians or John 10:10, the second half of it. But as you go through these gifts that God gave you, they're by his grace. He gives that by his grace. So that's his part. Each one of these is received through faith. That's not God's faith, it's our faith. What is faith? The favorite verse for that is Hebrews 11:1. We're going to do this in about three different translations or versions. Some of them are not translations, but three different versions. And I want you to listen to the different versions and see if it helps you to understand what faith is. This first one is in the Amplified Classic Version. Now, faith is the substance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Is that clear or is that a little murky still? It gives a little bit more than faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, which we read in the New King James. What about in the New Reader's Version? This is a version that's written more for the younger aged kids. But it says, faith is sure, being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. How many of you ever said to your grandkids, if you're good, when grandma comes, I'm going to be giving you a gift. I'm going to bring you something. How many of you ever said that? Almost all of us. As grandkids, we probably heard it from our grandma. Hey, if you're good, when I get there, I'll bring you something. Grandma's coming. We can't see it yet, but we know because grandma said it, it's going to happen. Or what about as a little kid, those starry eyes? I'm getting this for Christmas. How do you know? Because I asked for it. That is the kind of faith we're talking about here. You know it, but you can't see it yet. You already have accepted it. You've already taken it into yourself. And it's a fact, because when it doesn't happen, if that ever occurred, grandma came and forgot it, you're crestfallen. But you told me. I believed you. Okay? You kind of get the idea of what I'm talking about here? Let's go to the Phillips New Testament version. This is his own translation. But it says, now faith means putting full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. Okay? You take that one and you take the Amplified where it says faith is the assurance. Now faith means putting full confidence in the things we hope for. It kind of gives you a little more of an idea that faith isn't that hard to do. Every one of you got in your car and turned a little key or pushed a button after you got in your car to get your vehicle to start. Nobody got out there and pulled out the crank and says, I hope it'll start, put this there, I'm going to mechanically get this all set up. You got in and you just expected it. If it went click, 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 you said, oh, there's something wrong. Because you had your faith in that key turning that whole car over. You drove on the same side of the road that you expected everybody else to drive on. You got here, you pulled into a parking spot, and as you did, you trusted that when you put your foot on a different pedal, your car was going to stop and not come driving into the building. All those are little faiths. As I've said before, nobody picked the chairs up to go see who the maker was and went and tested them and went and researched to see if the chair maker had any faulty chairs. You came in and you set your stuff down and you sat down. You had faith, and you still do, that that chair is going to hold you. This is physical faith in little things. But we put our same faith in God in spiritual things, things we can't see. How many of you have tasted salvation? How many have tasted eternal life? But yet you know you have eternal life, but you have it by faith. Because Christ did the work, and the word says that what Christ did set you free. Amen? It's by faith. This next is an anagram by one of our people called Faith. Faith is full assurance in trusting Him. F-A-I-T-H. Full assurance in trusting Him. Do you have full assurance in trusting Christ? Then you have faith. The opposite of this would be fear, which is false evidence appearing real. You ever get fearful of something and you realize later it was just a bunch of bag of wind? False evidence appearing real. But faith is full assurance in trusting Him. Trusting who? Trusting Christ. God says it. In His word, He cannot lie. Amen? And so you can trust what's in His word, meaning that you can put your faith in His word. You can have faith. You can live in faith. You can walk in faith. Amen? Thank you, Marilyn, for the acronym. Faith is us taking what we hear, what we learn, and understand, and placing our full assurance and confidence in it, irregardless of the circumstances around us. Right. Are things going bad? What does the word say on that situation? Is somebody having a physical malady in their body? What does the word say? Is someone having a financial situation? What does the word say? Is someone facing a calamity? Everything's coming in on them? What does the word say? If you don't have faith in the word, you won't have faith in those situations. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance. First is we walk by faith. As I take a step, I don't go and check to make sure that platform is going to hold me. I put my foot out there, and I put my foot out there, and I put my foot out there. Every one of us has seen people that have to have a walker because their legs are unsteady, right? Nothing against them, but this, in the spiritual man, if my legs are unsteady, I'm timid as to how I put my feet. Because I don't trust where they're going to take me. I may put my foot over here, and I want it over here, and next thing you know, I'm going that way. But I can walk, and I can stand, and I can have faith, and I don't think about it. It just happens. So in our spiritual walk, it is a walk. We put our trust in God's word on a situation, and we stand and we walk in it steady. Not as a walker, not with a cane spiritually, not with crutches spiritually, but we stand and we walk in his word. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance. Have you seen the picture some have seen on Facebook where the person's got their foot on the solid ground and they've got their foot out here and they're talking about trusting God and it's just a chasm out there? But the next one shows that a little rock cloud forms right below their foot. When they step, there's something there for the step on. There's times that you go through life, say, God, I don't know what you're doing and why you're having me go this way, but I can't see where I'm going. And he's just saying, trust me. Trust me. And he will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He'll make a way where all you see is vastness, and all of a sudden, you're able to do it. Here's the verse for that. We walk by faith, not by sight. We must walk by what we believe and not what we see. Okay? Yes. Think about that a second. This is a place that most Christians struggle. This is a place they say, how can I do that? I see the flame. I see the fire. I see the trouble. I see the problem coming. You walk by faith and you say, God's word says in this situation. God's word says. Yes, there's the flame in front of me, but you say, God's word says, and you go through whatever the situation is. Because, see, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So what happens in the heart? Isn't that where you believe? That's where your belief happens, is in your heart. Go back to Romans 10. It says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth, that is the fruit of what's in your heart. Confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. The same heart that you believe with for salvation, when it's a time that you're standing for with God, whether it's healing or finances, if you believe in your heart, God's word says, and you're speaking that, that's where your salvation happens in that situation. But if you see the situation, and what comes out of your mouth is what you're believing in your heart, you're going, oh God, how are you going to help me here? Or I don't know what's going to happen here. You're believer is actually in doubt. You're not in faith for that situation. You're not going to step out there, Lord, I don't know, God, you're going to do that. And you step out there and there's nothing there. Fall flat on your face. Because your belief happens starting in your heart. And faith is evidenced by what comes out of your mouth. Are you speaking faith or are you speaking doubt? We know if you pray and you doubt, don't think that you'll receive anything. It has to be by faith. Our sister church down in Houston, Houston Faith Church, during the Harvey hurricanes, put out a call for prayer for people to stand and believe with them in faith and in prayer that God would protect them. And one of the scriptures that was put out there is, the waters shall not overflow you. 6 feet from their front door in the parking lot is where the waters stopped. You know, God sets a boundary for the sea. God says the sea goes here and no further. It never came into their church, even though the reservoir broke above them. The parking lot ended up being used for the boat trailers where they would put in out in the road, put the boats in to go on down to help people around them. And the parking lot became a boat trailer parking lot so that they could go and rescue people. The church became a lighthouse, water around it, no water in it. Because of faith, God's people stood together and said, God, you'd make this a lighthouse. Set the boundaries for the water. Don't let the waters overflow. That's what your word says. Okay? That's how we walk by faith and not sight. Because there were TV, you look at the hurricane thing, they were showing heavy waters and rescues and cars underwater and people washed away. All kinds of devastation. And prayers could have gone, oh, you got to save their lives. You got to do something. Get them out of there. Get them out of there. Instead, it was, God, don't let the waters go past this point. And God did that. And in doing that, all the other parts of the prayers happened as well. They didn't have to get out of there. They were able to become a blessing. I saw a video of them out there. Because their church is still standing and still dry, they had a barbecue grill out there on the side of the road the next days or two. They had a tent out there. They had bottled water. They had fruit. They had sandwiches. They had all kinds of things. As the crews were coming out from helping people or people down there taking care of pulling out all that wet carpet and drywall and stuff in the houses that were damaged, coming back up the road, they're out there able to be a blessing with their sign saying, Houston Faith Church, here. You want some water? You want something to eat? You want some fruit? You want a sandwich? Most people were taking bottled water because they'd been down in there working hard. They were able to become a blessing to the community because God stopped the water. They walked by faith and not by sight. Amen? We must walk by what we believe and not by what we see. Okay? We also must have faith or we cannot please God. We've just sang how we want to see his face. One of these days we'll be in his presence. As the Keith Green song was singing, how beautiful are you? He's singing that to his face right now because he went to be with the Lord in the 80s. Those songs he sang, he's able to sing them face to face. To God. He's there. We're still here. Amen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him and be satisfactory to him. You remember in grade school, you'd bring your grade card home and here's all the grades that you got, A's, B's, or whatever grading system, the better and the worst. But then they had down here your attitude. Was it satisfactory? Or was it inferior or something in between? I could bring the good grades home, but Mom would say, what's this about your attitude? Or what's this about this down here? Well, this is, but without faith, it's impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. We might make the grade, but we don't meet his satisfaction level. You want him to be pleased with you? How about it? You want him to be satisfied with you? Yes, God can be satisfied with you. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleased and to be satisfied by him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Do you believe God? As we said this morning, the mercies of God, the blessings of God, the things that he poured within salvation just keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper and richer and richer. The more you learn, the more you understand of what God's word says is yours, the more exciting it gets. It's like open, never-ending Christmas. You mean there's more presents under the tree? You mean there's more birthday gifts? I've already opened a bunch of them. There's still more. The more you find out about Christ, the deeper it goes, and the more you realize that he did when he was on that cross for you and for me. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. You may remember this story, but there's some things in here I want to pull out. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." And leaving the throng, he took him with them, just as he was, in a boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a leather cushion. And they awoke him and said, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still," muzzled. And the wind ceased. It sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. I want to stop there because I want to point out a few things first. How do you think these disciples felt after he rose from the dead, remembering that they asked him, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" when the very purpose for him to come to this world was to save men that were perishing. All men were in that situation eternally. In that shipwreck, that overtaken sea, and going to go down and about to die, and the purpose for Jesus to come was to save them. This is a little microcosm of all of humanity in that boat. Jesus came, and even though he came, mankind still says, "Don't you care? Don't you care about me? We're going to perish. I'm going to die." And all you do is nothing. When his whole purpose was to come to save and seek those who were lost and perishing. Amen. He arose and he rebuked the wind and the sea. And it's interesting how it says there was a wind and a storm of hurricane proportions on the Sea of Galilee. That's nothing like what's the Atlantic Ocean size, but it would be like the people in Florida now saying this same thing to it. I got to watch a video the other day of people standing out on the beach in Florida with their hands raised towards the sea, singing praises to God for the oceans to be rolled back, for the winds to cease, for God to give peace. Amen. I've watched videos of church services going on and a tornado come up, and the people came out and started praying over the storm, and the storm split and went around them and did not touch them. Jesus said, "Hush now, be still." And the wind ceased, and the seas were immediately calm. You ever been around a water? When a storm blows through, it never goes to flat calm. It goes to choppy, it comes down, it calms down because there's still residual wind. It ceased to where the water that had been turmoil went to calm. Going on, it says, and he said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith, no firmly relying trust?" And they were filled with great awe and fear exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" These are the church fathers. Okay, a few years later, months later, after this, they're the ones we look to and we read the Bible, the words that they spoke, and we're putting our trust in, but they had no faith at all while they were in that boat. First of all, most of them were fishermen. They knew how terrible of a situation they were in. They knew what happened if that water capsized that boat. That they were out there, there was no way every one of them was going to get to land. They were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. All of their knower up here in their head said, this is danger and we can't live. But see, God doesn't tell us to have faith with our knower, because that's by our sight. He says, by your faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. They had the Creator in the boat with them. And they didn't say, hey, Jesus, you might want to wake up here. And we've been praying over this storm, but do you want to add your prayer to it? Instead, it was, don't you realize we're going to die? If it wasn't for the water, that some of them might have wanted to jump over. How many times in life do we get in a situation where we're ready to either jump out of the boat or stay in the boat? Either way, we knew we were going to go down. Life gets that difficult that we don't know whether to stay in or jump out, but either way, we know we're doomed. There are people in life that can't see the horizon. They can't see life. They can't see peace. Jesus said, you have peace. Jesus said, rebuke the storm, the wind, and the waves. Have faith. Because these disciples who we have listened to, and the word of God came to us through them, they're the fathers of our faith. At that point in time, he said, you don't have any faith. Why? They were the inner circle with the Lord walking around. He sent them out and they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They cast out demons. They spread the good news. Now that was before he went to the cross. And yet they get in a boat and they lose it. Do you ever say, I messed up, God? I messed up. I didn't stand for you when I should have. I didn't say what I was supposed to when I should have. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. He knows about that because he was in the boat with them. He's in the boat with you. Just stand up and say, Lord, help me in this situation. Faith is believing what you know in your heart. Believing, not what you know in your head, seeing. Faith is saying, here's what the word says. The word says the waves shall not overtake you. Now, is that a New Testament or an Old Testament? Every one of these guys knew the Old Testament, and it's from the Old Testament. They could have stood up and said it. They could have stood up and claimed the scripture that they already knew of the waves will not overtake you. That's one of the verses that Houston Faith Church took. That waves will not, the waters will not overtake you. And the water stopped. Amen. The disciples saw and felt the wind and the waves. You ever been in a rough sea, a rough water? Water slaps you, it hurts. They saw and they felt the wind, the rain, and the waves. It was real. They were wet. They were cold. They were fishermen, and they knew the danger they were in. Yet Christ was asleep in the boat. Do you think maybe he went to sleep in the boat on purpose? Sometimes the lessons that we take deepest are the ones we go through. If he'd have sat there and said, okay, while I'm teaching this crowd over here, you all go and meditate on what I said. Hey, disciples, I want you to know you need to trust me in faith. You got that? I said go to the other side. I didn't say go halfway and drown. He said, let us go to the other side. That was what he said in the first part of this verse before he got in the boat. Let's go to the other side. They didn't believe his word enough to say, he said to the other side. So we're out here in the middle. So it's getting windy. So it's getting choppy. The Lord said we're going to the other side. As soon as it was calm, they were at the other side. Amen? The disciples were reacting to what they saw and had experienced in the past. How many times do we do that in our lives? Lord, last time this happened, you knew what that, what's the word say? Do you have to live by last time? Or can you live by what the word says? If the word says that it will not overtake you, it will not overtake you. Psalm 91 says you will see it with your eyes, but it will not come near you. 1,000 to 10,000, you'll look on the recompense of the enemy. It won't come near you. God's the one that sets the boundaries of how close this stuff will happen. He's the one that says, I have you. I am your protector. It's by grace you are protected. It's by grace you are delivered. It's by grace you are saved. It's by grace you are healed through faith. Amen? Amen. Faith works when you fully trust in God. Jesus wasn't worried even after they woke him. He didn't get up and say, oh my, these are some mighty waves. He got up and he rebuked the wind and the storm and it stopped. And he didn't sit back and say, ooh, that was cool. That was neat. As soon as he did it, he already knew it was going to happen. He turned to them and he started asking them about their faith. It doesn't say that he belabored the point. It doesn't say he went on 2 weeks later and came back. Remember, we were in the boat. You didn't have any faith. You got some now? He said it then. I'm sure they went and found their faith packets and started getting faith. It says they marveled. They thought about it. It affected them. They remembered it. They wrote it in the Gospels. It meant something to them. It was a turning point in their life about faith. Let it be a turning point in yours. You may not get into a boat. You may not be in the Sea of Galilee, but in your life, you've got your Sea of Galilees. In your life, you've got your boat situations where things are going topsy-turvy. Remember to stand up and say, storm, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Wind, stop in the name of Jesus. Waves, be still in the name of Jesus. The Word of God says that whatever you bind on earth, we bound from heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loosed from heaven. It's not being loosed from you. God is loosing it. God is binding it. God is stopping it. Because you're saying it in the name of Jesus. In his name. Ask anything in my name. It shall be done, right? Faith looks at the impossible and sees God's possibility. Did you get that? Faith looks at the impossible and sees God's possibility. My dad told me a story of a little kid, Christmas time, he and his brother, one was an optimistic boy and the other the pessimistic boy. And the parents, they couldn't ever have anything good for the pessimistic boy because they'd give him something, he'd just complain how that I've got to go put it in the on the shelf. I just know it's going to get broken. That's a pretty truck, but I can't play with it because I know it'll get dirty. I know it'll get broken. Everything was always, something's going to happen to this if I do anything with it. The other boy, you could hand him a shoebox, and he was just happy as all get out. It was, hey, this is great. I can make, hey, look, I made a truck. Now I made this. I did this. So for Christmas that one year, they said, we're going to give our pessimistic son the best Christmas ever. We want to break him of being so pessimistic. We want him to be so happy with the things we give him. So they just went lavish for him. And on the optimistic son that's always seeing something on the bright side, they said, we can't stand how optimistic he is. It's like it's driving us crazy. It's driving us nuts. So they put horse droppings in his stocking. And they didn't give him any packages, just that. Come time for Christmas, and the one boy sitting there said, As they keep opening present after present, every present keeps going to the pessimistic son. He keeps opening them, and the optimistic boy says, I know there's got to be something in there for me. He's just sitting back waiting. I know there's a present back there for me. It's got to be. I've been good this year. And the other brother just kept opening all this stuff and everything he'd look at. Oh, these are beautiful socks. But I just know the way I wear socks, I'm going to run a hole in them soon. And sets them aside, just about a tear running down his face. And these presents are so beautiful. And I'm a beautiful wristwatch, Dad, but I'm afraid I'm not going to wind it or I'm going to hit it on something and break it. Just everything was negative, negative, negative. And when all the presents have been opened, the boy says, I know there's still something around here for me. I know there's still something around here for me. So he goes running around. He looks in his stocking. He dumps it out, and there's nothing but horse droppings in there. And he grabs his brother. He says, quick, help me. There's a pony around here somewhere. Do you have that kind of faith? When things look bad, are you looking at the bad or are you looking at the good? Are you walking in faith or are you walking in fear? Are you living according to the first half or the last half of John 10:10? The first half says the thief comes in only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. If you're in the steal, kill, and destroy category, and that's where your life's at, and that's what you're running into, and that's what you're living under, and that's what you're feeling, you're on the wrong side of the boat. Because the other part of that same verse says, I came, talking about Christ, I came that they may have life, enjoy life. Let me say it again. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. If you're on the one side, you're in the wrong boat. You're listening to the devil and you're living by faith in what he said he's going to do to you. And he's going to take you down. You're on the wrong team. If you want life and abundant life and more abundantly, get over here and start believing in what God says he's going to do. Because that's why Jesus came, is that you can have life.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So hear the word of God. Take the word of God and speak it to yourself. Take the word of God and say it to yourself. When you're reading it, say it out loud. Jim was talking about earlier how that he listens to the word on CD at night. There are no doors on your ears. The word still gets in. But when the word gets in and you hear the word of God, rehearse it in your heart. What did David say? Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This book that I'm holding up, the Bible, will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. Speak it, live it, get it inside you. When you've got a situation you're praying about, pray the word. Go find all the passages for that situation. If it's healing, go through and find all the passages about healing, New Testament and Old Testament. Because God says, I am your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am your Jehovah Rapha. Okay? Jehovah is Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That is the name above all names that cannot be spoken but once a year, right? God's holiest name. And the other words with it is provider, healer, deliverer, salvation. So you can find healing, salvation in the Old Testament. In the New, it's the same God doing the same works. They do it through what Christ did. Do you want a deliverance in that situation? Find out what the word says about that situation. Write them down. Get you a journal going. One page on healing. Another couple pages on salvation. Another couple pages on finances. Another couple pages on this. And then let God, as you study those words and you go over those words, eventually you're going to start speaking those words with faith and you're going to start seeing those things happen. Walk by faith. But you do it by hiding the word of God in your heart and letting the word of God come out in those situations. We're not talking about Reader's Digest version. Well, God, I know your word says something in there about healing somewhere, so I'm just going to hold the Bible up, because somewhere inside this cover, from one side to the other, you've got the biblical aspirin, so I'm going to take it. Yeah. If you say, by his stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, you were healed. Any sick among you, let them lay hands on the sick, anointing them with oil. The prayer of the sick will save them, right? If they commit any sins, it shall. You know the scriptures. You know the scriptures. You don't give a baby aspirin biblically to a situation, you use the word. And that's standing in faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask you to take this word and to let it go deep within us. Lord, that we would stir up our faith. You've given us a measure of faith, but Lord, let us stir up our faith, build up our faith, so that when these storms come our way, when we're in the middle of the boat and the waves are crashing, that we remember that we can stand up and say, winds, stop, storm, stop, peace, be still, be hushed in Jesus' name. And you will make peace in our lives. Lord, for anyone that's listening that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that if they believe that you have risen Christ from the dead, and they confess right now that Jesus is their Lord, they ask you to forgive them of their sins, that you will hear their prayer, that they will become children of God. Lord, we just pray for each one under the sound of our voice, that this word would go deep within. The enemy would not steal this word, but the word would bear fruit. And we would mix it with faith, and it would be profitable for us in Jesus' holy name. At this point, we're going to do the priestly blessing. And we do this every time after service, because God says that when we do this, he will bless us. Amen.
Yaradanai panav elecha vechunecha Yesa Adonai panav elecha vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you, and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.